Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We be El Paso History people on the radio today talking about the El Paso History Moment, written and produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her History Moment today is about a speakeasy. I have to find out what that is. A speakeasy in Prohibition, El Paso.
High-tech warning systems used in El Paso speakeasy. It was a warm September night in 1920, and the patrons are enjoying their glasses of expensive illegal liquor in a small hidden speakeasy on San Jacinto Street when suddenly electric bells start ringing and loud warnings were yelled through the intricate speaking tubes that had been run throughout the small adobe house from the watchman on duty as the police and prohibition officers approached the entrance. Everyone inside the speakeasy quickly scattered out the back exits into the night, leaving nothing but broken and spilled glasses and bottles of liquor, and the old Victrola playing music, and cigars and cigarettes burning in the ashtrays. When the police and the federal prohibition agent R.E. Perkins and prohibition inspector A.B. Poe finally broke down the heavy doors and entered the building, their search of the building netted a mere 7 bags of unopened tequila bottles and no criminals. But the prohibition agents and the police were introduced to a new high-tech early warning system used by the owners of speakeasies in the early days of Prohibition who were trying to stay one step ahead of the law. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Is that Bernie playing that corny thing in the background?
Yes,
there?
He was playing La Paloma.
I see. So this
he was turning the Victrola.
That's your basic history moment there. That's a biggie. I mean, you know, interesting stuff happened in Prohibition. Was a huge thing in this town.
Yeah.
But mostly what El Pasoans did, they didn't bother with the feds and running around the back door. They just went to Juarez.
Yeah. But there were.
That
there
did
were
happen.
Here. Yeah, because, you know, going across the border, there were issues on that. And then some people was just, they wanted to stay on this side of the border and, you know, didn't want to go all across.
Speak easy. I looked that up. It's just referring to you got to speak quietly.
Yes.
Because the feds are coming.
Yes.
I think that's what that meant.
Well, and you looked up some terms, didn't you, Bernie?
Yeah, there was a number of different versions of what a speakeasy was.
That's Bernard Sargent there.
Yes,
I recognize
the
line one is ringing in there, by the way, if you're interested in dealing with that. But Bernie is here. Mm-hmm. To talk about things, but also your number is on this page.
That's right. He's actually here, so don't call the house. But he's part of the El Paso Heritage Alliance. And, you know, if people want to get involved or want information about history here in El Paso, they can call Bernie at 915-581-7920, which is our home number.
What's that number again?
581-7920.
Yeah, it's that cat that got me last night. Okay, and then also we can't forget Barbara Givenbaney and her team over there at Remember in El Paso Win, which puts up that great Facebook page of history, stories, pictures, and just people getting together on that page and sharing historical information.
It's a lot of people.
It's amazing.
Also, she works with other administrators, and she's looking for help, by the way. Go on that page and put your name in there if you
get
want to
active, yeah.
Help them out. But Rick Duncan is another guy that runs that page.
I love his donuts.
Duncan. You love his donuts.
Yes.
And his coffee's pretty good, too.
And they're changing their name, too.
And it's just going to be Duncan.
It's just going to be Rick's place.
All right. Duncan Bernie's in here today.
Yes.
Bernie Sargent, the man who does a lot of history. In fact, I love the humor you have with your history. Sometimes it gets in the way of doing television, but that's okay. We just have to deal with it. But speaking of television, it's been interesting to see the reactions. What have you gotten on we did that ABC 7 piece that aired Tuesday night.
It's everything from it's just a little too short.
Yeah.
To what are you going to do next?
Ah, yes.
Yeah, which I like because that it kind of triggers the thought process, like, and that's the whole motivation behind what we're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah, and I'm producing them, and Bernie's on the air, and we're doing this as a unit for El Paso History TV, which is a channel on YouTube that we've had going on for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But now we're going to add all these ABC7 pieces to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to work with ABC7. Kevin Lovell's a good old boy. He knows the value of El Paso history.
Yeah.
The trouble is he can't produce these in house without a great expense. So what you and I did, well,
you want to do a cheap call house.
Yeah.
But we're different. We went and got grant money. So it's not on his dime. So therefore we can do these at leisure, but do them extensively and in detail. So the next one coming up is the Camino Real.
That's a good one.
And so that'll be the next thing we do. The reason to ask you, we'll talk more about that as time goes on. I got you coming back in a couple of weeks. We'll ask people if they have any ideas on what subjects we should do, because we've got several coming and four in the works right now. Camino Real is the next one on Tuesday. Then we've got Waco Tanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week after that, we're going to do four of these. Next week after that will be the Keystone site.
Yeah.
So that's what's going on now, but we have capacity to do a bunch more of these. We'll see how far we get.
Well, it's fun because the other day I got a phone call from the Parks Department. They're trying to go after recognition of Memorial Park. And, you know, most everyone in El Paso has been to Memorial Park, but why Memorial Park? Where did it come from? So I had the opportunity to spend a lot of hours looking that up, and it was fun just reading about how it came to fruition. The Rotarians, actually, the Rotary Club, were the ones who came up with the idea to honor the fallen, wounded, and veterans from World War I. And that whole thing started literally 1 month after armistice was signed.
The Memorial Park is to that.
Yes.
To World War I. And also, we talked about it first hour with Keith Wilden. We were talking about the fact that that had been a smelter. And that was one of the original El Paso smelters, that whole sprawling area right there in Memorial Park. And then when they decided we ain't going to smelt no more because the Sarcos showed up, basically, I think, put those guys out of business.
Pretty much did
that. That's what happened.
Yeah.
So that whole big mess of a park over there, a mess of a smelter, they buried it and turned it into a park. So
it's in fact, they were surprised at the quality of the loam, as they called it, the dirt, and how good it was.
Why?
Well, they were used to working with caliche. But when they started doing surveys throughout that 30-plus acres, they discovered that ground was pretty rich.
Okay.
And the railroad actually dedicated a spur off the main rail line that goes back there behind the park to go into the park to bring in all of the trees and shrubs and plants that they were going to be putting in there.
Well, that's way cool.
And the Confederate, the ladies of the Confederacy, you know, the spouses and so on, they were the ones that came up with the idea to put a building in there that would be an event center, a visitor center, and so on.
That turned into the garden center?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a whole lot of little things that I found out. I went, this is just incredible. And El Paso debated whether or not, do you want to put a statue up? Do you want to do a park? And it ultimately came down to where if it was a park, it would be something that people could enjoy in perpetuity in a much grander scale. And they eventually bought enough land that went up against Manhattan Heights School, Crockett School, to where the school kids could use the park as well as patrons of the park.
Yeah, I went to Crockett. I remember going over in the park, and it had all these old fountains that weren't working anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
But a bunch of strange things that they originally had constructed there.
They did have a lot
of
things.
We hadn't planned to get off on Memorial Park.
I know.
But to continue the thought, let's just do that.
Yeah.
That's why you have those roads over there, those streets for the houses. Federal, gold, copper, silver, and there's a couple more down there. And on the other,
people don't realize that.
The other side of the tracks from Copia, if you go into Copia and go down the hill, on the other side of the railroad tracks, you'll find mining towns like Bisbee are named over there.
Yeah.
So that was a whole big deal back in this era.
Well, initially all the streets and pathways through there were supposed to be named after individuals that were deceased in France.
Oh.
And then they change it to primary battle sites in France. And every tree, the first of all, it was 60 trees they were putting in, was going to have a name tag on there for someone that lost their life in France from El Paso.
Well, Memorial Park is an interesting thing, but we got off on a side
track. We sure did. But that's just to say that there's so much interest in so many different things as far as El Paso's history. We're anxious to just keep this thing going.
Oh, back on ABC7? Oh, yeah. No question. ABC7 is a really good place to do this. They understand the value of what we're doing, and they appreciate the fact that El Paso history is not well known.
Mm-hmm.
And who is doing history in this town? I mean, anybody? The Historical Society is doing what they can, but they've got an old house that is sort of like a primary part of their charter. They got to fix, keep the house going.
Yeah.
And they do what they can. Otherwise, and by the way, there is a major event that they're having tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
The Hall of Honor banquet tomorrow night. There's still tickets available. Mm-hmm. Melissa will have the details on that if you're interested in that. But to the point of the Historical Society, they do what they can. Historical Commission, they're sort of like set out by the state of Texas with a mandate on what they can and should do.
I've
and
heard
the,
of them.
And the open areas that they can do things in are not really well well used. I mean, when you were chairman for, what, 10 years? 13 years of the Historical Commission, we had discussed the idea of creating a museum for the county to have a museum at Asarco. And you go look at the charter of the Historical Commission, it's perfectly allowed in there.
Sure.
But you got to have the people with the money and the vision and the backing to carry that off.
Well, an interesting thing that never really got pursued because of politics being what they were is the there is an allotment within the hotel motel tax fund that you can use for museums. We could have done something like that.
Well, it maybe, who knows? I think at this point you're going to have private money.
Well, what we were talking about was like what's going on in Galveston. They have a Galveston Historical Foundation, which is really probably where something we need to be looking at, something in El Paso, like the El Paso Historical Foundation, that would be totally autonomous on its own, that could be funded that way, that could support organizations, maybe help support museums and such away from the city, away from everybody else, but it would have to be private funding.
Well, Galveston did. They're buying and selling houses.
Well, yeah, they
and renovating old houses.
Exactly. And they're also they're doing festivals. I mean, like the Dickens on the Strand, which is what Bernie and I are going to, which did I tell you? We'll be we're going down there. It's a big event where they have Dickens on the Strand. It's all Dickens theme, but they do events to help raise money and support the organization. Like I said, they build old or they buy old houses, they refurbish them. They do great publicity for their area to get people down there for tourism to go to their historic districts. Ta-da.
Dia de los Muertos. We've got to talk about that.
Yes, we do.
That's what we promoted.
Yes.
So Dia de los Muertos is happening now. Mm-hmm. Bernie Sargent, define that for us, if you would.
It's kind of a combination of celebrations. It originated with amongst the Aztecs when they celebrated the deceased. But when the conquistadors came in, they were celebrating the their Catholic days, religious days. All Saints Day was one that they practiced.
All Hallows Eve.
All Hallows Eve. Yeah, there was a series of 3 days that started with All Saints Day and went all the way through All Souls Day. And so what they did in Mexico is combine the two. It was a little bit easier than trying to say, well, we're only going to do one celebration like the Aztecs, and, or we're just going to do All Saints Day like that one there. So it became a kind of a melding of the two different celebrations, and it kept the priests somewhat happy.
Sure.
Because they, you know, they were incorporating the Catholicism into it. And it's a fascinating day when folks celebrate the deceased, not negatively and not mournfully, because as the Aztecs believed, you should not mourn the lost. You should celebrate what they did for the living, because on that particular day, they are back celebrating with you, but only in spirit. And so you see, you know, the different characters, this, you know, the skeletons, the calaveras, and so on, they always have sort of a half-happy looking face on them. And
because they're not sad.
They're not sad at all. I mean, they're back with their friends, their relatives, the people that they, the communities that they helped. And the sometimes the question is asked, why is only half of a face decorated on a person on Dia de los Muertos? That's because they're celebrating the deceased and the living.
Oh, one each on the
simultaneously,
side.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's a fun day to you know, lift up your spirits, remember in a positive vein the people that have passed before you and celebrate their lives.
All right, after the break, we'll talk about what they're doing at Concordia because they got a whole bunch of stuff planned down
it's
there.
It's a great event.
And there's these kind of celebrations are all over town. The ones that we know about specifically today, we'll talk about is Concordia.
Okay.
All right, and we do have trivia. We probably didn't cover any of the trivia questions, did we?
Not yet.
But a lot of people know these, though, too.
All right, see what happens.
We did cover one of them, but a lot of these things people already know. Should we go ahead and try it?
Yeah, we did cover one.
Trying trivia. Here we go.
Yes. Okay. The first one is, what is an ofrendas?
Spell that.
O-F-R-E-N-D-A-S. Ofrendas.
And it's not an Irish amigo.
No, it's not. An ofrendas.
And so that can be looked up.
Right. You can look that one up. And most people that are listening are bilingual or most likely are bilingual. Yeah. And then the second one is, until the 20th century, Catholic Mexicans of northern Mexico celebrated what day instead of Dia de los Muertos?
Didn't Bernie just say that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
So if you have answers to those questions, please give us a call at the correct number, which is 915-544-5876. Or 915-544-KTSM.
So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave!
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe. So what's on your Saturday to-do list?
Dave.
Hey, it's Luke Lowenfield, owner of the all-new Casa Kia on George Dieter. If you're at all like me and my wife, always something, right? And I bet somewhere on your to-dos is that oil change you've been meaning to get to. If I'm right, we'll know that we can do your full-service oil change today for just $29.95 for most cars. And it includes a full-service car wash and more. Our world-class service department can handle just about every one of your car to-do issues. State inspections, too.
Luke?
We're open now, or book your no-wait service appointment at CasaKia.com, and we'll see you here.
Luke, honey.
Maybe.
Guts, integrity, and hard work. That's what it takes to be a great governor. And that describes Michelle Lujan Grisham. This is former Senator Jeff Bingaman. During my years in office, I saw how true leaders can best serve their constituents. And Michelle has the tenacity and passion to be a true champion of New Mexico families. As a small businesswoman, Michelle has helped to save people's lives by working to provide health care to very sick patients who had been denied insurance coverage. And as head of the state's aging and health departments, working for both Republican and Democratic governors, she exposed abuse and neglect in long-term care facilities, and she shut down the bad actors. Michelle's a true leader who has what it takes to be a great governor. I'm proud to support her, and I hope you'll join me in voting for Michelle Lujan Grisham for governor.
Paid for by New Mexicans for Michelle.
You know, our Jimmy John's new 9-grain wheat sub has the perfect amount of grain.
Freak, yeah, it does. Any less, it'd be grain lacking. Any more, it'd be obnoxious.
9 grains. It's just so confident. I mean, it says I'm high quality, I'm substantial, I'm flavorful, but I don't have to prove myself to anyone.
This 9-grain wheat sub is practically an inspirational poster.
I want to possess the character and depth of this 9-grain wheat sub.
You guys talking about being that 9-grain wheat sub again?
Try our new 9-grain wheat sub, Jimmy John's. Wheat, yeah, freak, yeah.
Political ads are nasty, and the way they're dragging Yvette Harrell through the mud is just plain wrong. This is Steve Pierce. It's been an honor to serve you in Congress. I know Yvette. She's an honest leader, and we need more honest leaders in D.C. Yvette is a huge defender of the Second Amendment. She's unapologetically pro-life, and Yvette has fought to lower taxes so we can keep more of our own money. And she co-founded the Balanced Budget Caucus because she believes government should be required to spend tax dollars responsibly and not spend more than it takes in. Yvette Harrell believes in New Mexico and us. She's the right choice for Congress. Yvette is the only candidate who will continue to fight for our values in Washington. I'm Steve Pierce, and I'm asking you to join me in voting for Yvette Harrell for Congress.
I'm Yvette Harrell, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Yvette Harrell for Congress.
The West Side's newest luxury apartments are now leasing at Las Mansiones, 1776 Cimarron Trails, near North Wrestler Drive and Paseo del Norte, a mile from the new West Side Providence Hospital. Las Mansiones features three-story units with amazing views. To the east, the majestic Franklin Mountains, and to the west, El Paso's Upper Valley. You'll enjoy sunsets like you've never seen before from your own private balcony. Las Mansiones, 915-704-1776.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. hear again El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
What's the matter? Cat got your tongue? We got nobody calling in on
just
this.
Just my brain, yeah.
You've got cat your brain. 544-5876 for trivia.
You have
got
peaches call in.
I'm going to tell people coming in for next week. We've got the history of the International Museum of Art. We're talking about the Turney Mansion, the building itself, but also the history of that museum is kind of unusual.
It's a great museum. It's another house museum, you know?
It is a house.
And it's a Trost.
And it's a museum.
It's Trost.
And it's even a Trost House museum. Trost. So November 17, we're going to ask Bernie to come back in here and talk about some interesting stuff, including we'll ask people on that day to explain to us what they think we should possibly do on the ABC 7 pieces.
Good idea.
See if we got, and is Bernie's mic on over here? Crank up his mic. As we say in the business, slam his module.
Yeah.
That's what we do say in the business. Did you slam the module in there? All right, we'll talk when you can here. But coming in also, November 24, that's the Thanksgiving weekend, Rosa Remembers El Paso.
Ah.
The Rosa Guerrero coming in, talking about history as she has seen it.
Is that a six-hour show? Just to get two tidbits?
Just to get her up to her school days. But that's on November
24th.
December 1st, Gary Williams talking about his take on history and what community foundation projects they've got going on. December the 8th, Martha Vera, Honorary Counsel to Spain, talks about our history when we were New Spain. And then December 15th, you found Margaret Trost for us. And so Margaret's going to come in and talk about the Trost world.
Yes, she is.
Yes, she is. All right, put Bernie's mic on over here. We're going to need to talk to Bernie here in a second. Melissa, you got something you got to read there?
Tomorrow only, and it's a great event. It's the El Paso County Historical Society, and they're going to be honoring some wonderful people. They're going to be honoring Paul Foster, Presidor Coop, who's been a guest on the show many times, Maceo Daly, and Telesforo Montes at the 2018 Hall of Honor Banquet, which is going to be held tomorrow at 6 p.m., which is Sunday, November 4th, at the El Paso County Country Club. And if you'd like to attend, they've still got tickets available, and you can call Robert Diaz at 915-533-3603. And this is a great event. They honor some wonderful people for the exemplary role models they've been to the community. And these people, especially press and these others, they've been exemplary in helping with the history of El Paso. And I think it would be important for everybody to be out there and help to, you know, congratulate them for what they've done.
You still get a ticket today?
Yes, you can.
533-3603. Okay. All right. Bernie is here. We're talking history. And we're also going to take another break here and come back and do El Paso Inc. in a minute. This is going to be interesting. But Bernie, what is your take on Day of the Dead? I mean, you showed up from California. Were they doing it there?
No.
Not so much, no.
Never heard of it there.
No, it's a border thing
over here.
No, it was a border thing. But the strange irony was we got here, and not long after we were here, I was involved with the Parks Department and with MCAD and so on a few things. And we got invited to attend the downtown Dia de los Muertos celebration, wall-to-wall people. And that was the first and only time the city had ever done it. They never did it again after that.
Like at San Jacinto Plaza or where?
No, it was actually over by the depot.
Okay. Yeah, and we crossed over the bridge into Mexico.
Yes.
And went to
San Diego's ranch
chapel.
Down there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The chapel over there for an event. It was really fascinating. It was
great,
wonderful.
Fun.
And then it kind of like got...
Yeah, I would have thought the city would have kept doing it because, I mean, there were thousands of people there. It was wall-to-wall.
Oklahoma has a 5-day
Dia de los Muertos.
Thank you. Festival.
Oklahoma.
Yeah. Why didn't we jump on this years ago? I mean, we could. Never mind.
A little slow. But
we have more art.
But Concordia is doing it now.
Concordia started doing it a few years ago, and every year gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Today's the day.
Today's the day. It's a fun event. I mean, there's going to be exhibitors out there. There's going to be people out there with their wares that they will be selling. There will be storytelling. There will be, I think Melissa was talking about in the first hour, the different things that are going to take place there. And, you know, you got to give the folks a lot of credit, the Concordia folks, for all the work they put into it.
They put a lot of work
in. They work very hard over there.
They do. And everything's geared towards Dia de los Muertos. The vendors are all geared towards everything they're selling is Dia de los Muertos based. So, you know, it's not just like you're having just a swap meet. These people are selling everything based on that. So,
and it's in Concordia Cemetery.
In Concordia Cemetery.
That's the one by the spaghetti bowl, folks. And
yes,
you get off at Copia.
Yes, you go in the Yandel entrance.
Yandel Handle,
yes.
Candle.
Hazel Handle, Candle, yes.
You got to get that right.
I know.
And so that's today, that's that event. All right. Bernie Sargent's in the house. We're going to explain more about this. Sergio, we need to take another break, do we not? And I also want to thank Sergio for and Shelley in there for answering all the many, many phone calls today,
Shelley. She's been busy.
Her ears just falling got her off. Wife.
Somebody just call her up to talk to her, 544-5876. Other than that, I mean, she won't come back, you know, if you don't have any work to do.
Jackie, call your mom.
Call your mom.
There you go. Call your mom. But also, we have to thank Sergio properly. One, two, three. Sergio Valenzuela.
Oh, there's the phone ring.
How did that happen? That guy's getting ahead of us in there.
He just fell off the chair.
Get back up and go to a break here. Shall we do that?
We shall do that.
Call us up if you think you should.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
An illegal migrant caravan heads to the U.S.-Mexico border. Already it's committed violence at the southern Mexican border with no regard for the laws of any nation. The caravan could have thousands stream into New Mexico within weeks. So where do the congressional candidates stand on the caravan? Yvette Harrell supports tougher immigration laws and border security. She supports building the wall. Harrell believes that those who have waited years to immigrate to America should be first in line. And Social Tora Small? She supports sanctuary cities. Tora Small has attacked plans for military on our border to deter gang members, MS-13, and other criminal elements from entering our country so Americans are safer. It's really simple. Yvette Harrell will defend our border and our sovereignty. Social Tora Small will not. Remember that when you vote in the race for U.S. Congress.
Paid for and authorized by Our Values PAC. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word BOSS to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text BOSS to 797979. Text BOSS to 797979.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs, like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hi, what's going on here this week? This week only in El Paso, Inc.
TxDOT chief engineers in El Paso talk about making Interstate 10 great again. Will the orange barrels ever go away?
No, they're permanent. But also in the ink, Veterans Day parades, military holidays you didn't know existed, and more in this year's military issue.
El Paso's Alejandra de la Vega Foster lays out plans for Juarez Tech Campus.
El Paso Inc. is El Paso's only locally owned business journal.
El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery and online at elpasoinc.com.
Here's the topic of ABC7's Extra Sunday Night this week. Caravans with thousands of would-be Central American immigrants are headed north, where President Trump promises to meet them with massive tent cities and a new catch-but-no-release policy.
Join host Saul Saenz at ABC7 Extra Sunday nights at 10:35 p.m. following the news.
Bernie and I met him last week.
Yeah.
Yes, we did.
Saul.
Saul.
It's Mr. Saul to you.
It's Saul, not Saul.
Saul. But he was living in Florida and he came back.
Is that
back
where he was? He yes. said he wouldn't mention where he was.
Well, no. We did. We did.
Yeah.
But he was trying to tell me he wasn't Cuban.
I don't know, but he was working there, and he came back to El Paso, and now he's part of
he's
their team.
Tired of sweating is what it was.
Well, so it's he's an interesting guy.
He is.
He seems like a nice guy.
He came back to help his mom, who's not doing so well.
And also, he's another one who grew up in El Paso and never learned history.
Well, he went to Jefferson. Is that what he said? He went to Jefferson.
I think he said
High
Jeff,
school?
Yeah.
No,
but,
Riverside, Jefferson or Riverside.
But
no,
it was Riverside.
No, it was Riverside. Yeah,
the
right, Riverside.
Being is, though, that he's another kid that came up through the ranks of the schools mm-hmm. here and did not learn the history.
See, we can say that because he's younger than us.
Oh, there he is. He's a kid. He's a punk. Mr. Punk to you. But no, the whole history idea, I think, that we've got going on here with this radio show, with the history in general, El Paso is missing and has missed for decades a huge opportunity for heritage tourism.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fabulous that what we could show. I mean, Bernie, we're talking here specifically about the Day of the Dead. I'll bet you if this were marketed correctly, you'd fill up all kinds of hotels with this kind of thing.
Oh, sure. It could be done.
You're seeing more and more events coming up. There are Day of the Dead, and it's a great event to promote. I mean, how much more so can you get being here on the border and such? You know, but like mm-hmm. I said, look at Oklahoma Street. There's a lot of Los Angeles. Yeah, that's what we were talking about when with Dern Guito, if they would really just change their mind and turn that into the Mexican-American Cultural Center. If they're going to do that, do it there. Turn Dern Guito into that, and all 24/7. You know, center down there that's 365 days a year and have an event down there like they do it in Los Angeles, Olvera Street. They do all kinds of events like that. And when they do a Dia de los Muertos, oh, my gosh, it's just incredible. It's wonderful.
Well, you said the big one was with the city a few years ago.
Yeah, and that's where they did it. It was down in the
Union Plaza.
Union Plaza.
Union Plaza District.
But now we've got Concordia. Like today is 2 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Tell us about what Concordia is doing. They get those big guys on tall stilts, or they just got long legs.
And families have actually gone out and cleaned their family graves. They put altars out, and these are in non-relation to the actual festival. There are families that still go out and take care of their family.
They do
graves.
It anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they go out with the family members. It's kind of like their day of Thanksgiving, and they go out and sit and meet and talk about family members. Put the pictures and the food and the candles on the graves.
What happens to the food?
We come along later on, eat it.
Yeah. You do it. You're the one.
No, actually, we have a roadrunner out there. We have a little fox. We have a little few animals out there that go out. But no, and then they come, you know, they leave it there, and hopefully it's eaten by the spirits.
I see.
Yeah, but you talk about the outreach of our heritage and culture. I had the opportunity a couple of days ago to meet with a couple of travel writers from Dallas, and they were just blown away. They had no idea the history of El Paso.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. I told him, I said, don't feel bad. Most El Pasoans have no idea.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's one of the things that Jack and I and Melissa in our own way are trying to do is get that word out there and share that with the people, create sort of an esprit de corps around our heritage and culture.
The whole town could be an ambassador, each individual, if they knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And I've learned what I've learned just sitting right here with all the people that come through telling stories on this radio show. I've learned a whole lot of stuff about what is going on here. I don't know it all. And see, I don't claim to be an historian because it gets burdensome. I claim to be a journalist kind of guy who asks the historians to show up and explain stuff. And when it comes to Day of the Dead, as a kid growing up, it meant nothing to me here in El Paso. I didn't even know what that was. So it's become a tradition that's basically, hasn't it come across the border?
It from the south of Mexico is where it originated and worked its way up north to the Juarez, El Paso area.
And the whole point is to celebrate the life of the deceased.
Yeah.
And how else are you going to get a chance to do that? Because you go to the funeral home, you put them in a box, you stick them in the ground, like, okay, we're done. And then you never talk about your relatives again. However, this crowd does.
Yes.
And that's the whole point, is to make an altar to them. That's the ofrenda. Mm-hmm. That's what you call an altar.
Yeah.
And to do that and to explain, like you say, with pictures. Have you actually made one?
Oh, yeah. I've done a couple of them in the past. I just have not been able to go back in the last couple of years to Concordia Cemetery, but I've done the history boards on it, which explains what the altars are all about and what Dia de los Muertos is about. And we've done it for the the Stevenson family have done it there in some of the graves right as you entered to Concordia Cemetery for the Dia de los Muertos. And you have the flowers that you use,
marigolds?
Yeah, marigolds, mm-hmm. which are a traditional flower to be used because it's considered the flower for the dead because it has life involved in it. And there's all kinds of traditions that really go deep into this that are fascinating with the candies and the traditions and the candles and everything. It goes much, much deeper than that. I mean, it's not just, you know, like a Halloween type thing. There's a lot of deep traditions that go back into the Aztec times as well as into Europe. So it's really deeply involved.
Yeah, marigolds actually came from the south of Mexico. And they were used extensively by the Aztecs to decorate, to make garland and so on. And they were thought to have magical powers. They were referred to as the herb of the sun.
Oh.
Because the color and so on could be used for different things. They used it for dyes. They mm-hmm. would also they would feed chickens the gold petals. And the eggs would be richer looking, and the skin would be richer looking. Hmm. So the marigolds became very popular there, and then they were taken back to Europe by the conquistadors, the explorers, and so on, and they were grown in Europe, and it just grew from there. And it found its way across the Mediterranean into Africa. The Africans started raising it, but they raised it in a taller flower. And they were used so extensively on graves to decorate the graves because they were so colorful that they would just naturally procreate because of the seeds. And that's why you see lots of marigolds in cemeteries.
Interesting tradition yeah. there. Yeah. Well, it's more of a religious event than a Halloween event. That's the point.
It is.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
It's more of a soul thing mm-hmm. for folks.
Well, you have All Souls in Europe that's been used for years, and it's kind of just a natural thing. It even goes back into pagan times.
Well, it was All Souls Day, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And how did is that what transisted into the Day of the Dead?
I think it kind of came from a mixture,
saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of a combination of things. All Souls Day was the beginning of a 3-day celebration that finished with All Souls, All Saints Day, then it progressed into All Souls Day.
And I think it came from the fact that we were going from the fall into winter. And it had to do with that time going from the light to the darkness. And I think that was a combination of that from the pagan days.
Mm-hmm.
So the equinox and whatever. I don't have all that deep.
The Welch.
Well, at Concordia. Is there a program that occurs? I mean, you guys have a program of gunfighters when you do the walk through history. But is there a program for a thing like today? Or just people just wandering and mingling?
Well, a lot of wandering, but there are some things that will be set up. There's not going to be any gunfight performances.
No.
But they'll be...
they're already dead.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere. But there will be a number of things. I think you were talking... You got a list of things that they're going to have there?
They're going to have Aztec dancers. They're going to have the vendors. They're going to have mariachis. They're going to have...
skinny guys?
I think the marachines.
The Matachinas are coming?
Matachinas are dancing. Ay, 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 ay.
Those always get crazy.
Henry Trost is not there. I'm looking for my motives here. The Matachinas, I think they're going to
There's some great, great souvenirs to buy there.
Altars, machines, mariachis, the Sunset Fire Dancers are going to be there. Mojigagas.
That's what it is.
That's what that is.
I finally woke up. Mojigaga skeletons, they'll be roaming the cemetery.
Well, is that hard to do, that Mojigaga?
Well, can you imagine putting about another 6 feet on top of your head?
I couldn't do that for sure.
I can't even walk as I stand. They're going to have the Calaveras painting and Mexican, dresses and such. Just, everybody there in costume contests, get kids. And just, just partying with each other and having a good time out there.
So the All Saints Day is the Dia de los Muertos, and that's today, Concordia, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m.
8 p.m., that's right.
And it'd be a nice thing to go down there and make a donation as you go in and see what's going on out there.
Yes, and help out the cemetery and say hello to Patricia and Colette because they're doing all the hard work. And Dean and Heather.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing all the hard
There's
work.
There's a lot of hardworking folks at Concordia Heritage Association that are doing these things. Line one, Shelley.
Yeah, they have two events a year, or actually three events a year. But two of them are like within a week of each other.
Yeah.
So I mean, it just really, it taxes them.
It wipes out some of the management over there.
It does.
Yeah, they become part of that dead. This is the day of the dead. You'll find them there Sunday and laying them on the altar.
Don't call them until Thursday.
No, until maybe next spring.
Yeah, these guys are busy out there.
No, they're continually taking care of that cemetery all year round.
And that's just it.
Yeah, this is the monies that they use to help continue to take care of the cemetery and preserve it, making signage, whatever we can. And we do need some new signage out there. So
well, they get some support from the county, but not as much as it takes.
Most of that goes to the security to take care of the place, keep these little buggers out of there that do damage to the cemetery.
Well, and now line three is ringing. I'm just telling Shelley what's going to happen on the phones over here. But
she's looking at you going, I know about that.
But the Concordia is an interesting place, so that's a good place to go today. Will there be any food out there?
Yes, there are food vendors, food trucks,
and that kind of thing going on.
It's food to die for.
Food exactly to die for in the cemetery. So
it's fun to die for.
Shelley, if we have a call put on the radio here, let me know. I'll put them on right now. But Bernie, what are your thoughts about not knowing about this as a kid, and you've now, as an adult, embraced the Day of the Dead? How do you explain it to, like, say, somebody coming from the Midwest and they're saying, look what these people do on the border in their cemeteries?
Well, it takes some explanation, because if you don't know what the celebration is or the meaning behind it, it certainly is kind of startling for some.
Yeah, what are you doing out there?
Yeah, I know. Because you got over, six religions that follow the All Saints Day and the All Souls Day, six different major religions. And to them, this is offensive. But it shouldn't be, because they, too, are celebrating the deceased saints and deceased souls in a way a little bit different than what
it's a matter of how you
doing.
Do it.
Yeah. And, it's a fun celebration. Take advantage of it. Learn the culture and share the enthusiasm with the folks that are celebrating it. I think it's just a great time.
All right. We got folks to talk to on a phone.
Yeah,
are you ready for this? You got the Prince, Mr. Prince. How's
Prince.
It going today, dude? Put Prince on the air, would you? Sergio, give me a phone call on the air. There you are. Go ahead. We just now got you on the air, Prince. Go ahead. Yes. At Concordia. Oh, okay. Are you going to be there today talking about them? South El Paso, yep. Excellent, okay. Well, Prince, thanks for ringing up and sharing with us. I'll bet you got more. Go ahead. That's Friday coming up. Right.
Yeah.
That would be the next Friday. The next Friday that occurs will be the 9th. Yes. Ah, good idea. There they come. Well, congratulations on that. And I know you and Ron both had a lot of other people put some real energy into making the city keep those and restore them. Excellent. Well, thanks for ringing up, Prince. We'll see you in the streets. Thank you, sir. You take it easy. And also, just to let people know as we go to break here, we got Paul Whitler Graphics. He's the guy that has helped us with the online Missing Pattersons. And what he's doing, he's releasing two or three stories from the 1957 Herald Post.
Teasers.
That bring. Well, if you follow them along each week,
it's a teaser,
you can read how the progress went in not only recognizing the fact that, wait a minute, the Pattersons are missing. Wait a minute, where'd they go? And they still, nobody's answered that question at all.
You're down the trail.
But that was in the, we have 160 different articles that he's posting a couple at a time. Wow. So Paul Whitler, he has a graphic design company. Give him a call. If you want to run WordPress on your own computer and know what you're doing, you won't make it because Paul could tell you how
Does
to do it.
Does he teach you?
Well, I learned quite a bit on how to do it.
I may have to give him a call.
I was not that great a student, but anyway, Paul can help you with that stuff. 581-7054. 581-7054 for Paul. All right, taking a break here, coming back in a moment with Bernie, and we may just wrap up the Day of the Dead and send you out the door to meet the dead. Fair enough? 544-whatever, KTSM, right?
Yes.
544-5876.
I'm doing stuff over here.
Are you putting your retirement savings in a 401k, IRA, or investment account? Then I have one word of advice. Stop. Many experts warn of a stock market crash any day now. And if it's anything like the last two crashes, you could lose 50% or more of your hard-earned savings in the Wall Street casino. Can you afford to lose half of your retirement savings again? Hey, you don't have to lose a penny because there's a better, safer way to save for retirement. And you can learn all about it in a free report. This is the report Wall Street and big banks desperately hope you never see. Why? Because this method continues to grow your money even when the market tumbles. It lets you take back control of your money and finances, and it gives you penalty-free access to your savings. Plus, it beats the pants off any 401k or IRA. These are uncertain times, so get the information you need today to guarantee your retirement security. To get this free report, go to bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
Political ads are nasty, and the way they're dragging Yvette Harrell through the mud is just plain wrong. This is Steve Pierce. It's been an honor to serve you in Congress. I know Yvette. She's an honest leader, and we need more honest leaders in D.C. Yvette is a huge defender of the Second Amendment. She's unapologetically pro-life, and Yvette has fought to lower taxes so we can keep more of our own money. And she co-founded the Balanced Budget Caucus because she believes government should be required to spend tax dollars responsibly and not spend more than it takes in. Yvette Harrell believes in New Mexico and us. She's the right choice for Congress. Yvette is the only candidate who will continue to fight for our values in Washington. I'm Steve Pierce, and I'm asking you to join me in voting for Yvette Harrell for Congress.
I'm Yvette Harrell, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Yvette Harrell for Congress.
Looking to save on Medicare Part D? Switching to Walgreens may help you save on your Medicare Part D prescription. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Talk to the pharmacist to learn more.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Don't forget to celebrate our mountains. That's going on big time right now. Next week, they got a birding tour at the Rio Bosque Wetlands Park. Have you ever been down there?
Yes.
It's a very different thing to go look at. Yeah, and you realize the entire area of Juarez and El Paso used to look like that.
Oh, yeah.
Once upon a time, that's what it was. So they got a tour next week on Saturday, 10 to 2, and Big Bosque Bird Bash is what they're saying. Give this guy a call. Bill Hoover's running it, 487-7154, 487-7154. And they have a stormwater drain tour. Oh, my goodness. Look this up on Celebration of Our Mountains online.
Bienvenidos to El Paso's front door. The Paso de las Luces grand opening. This is going to be November 7th at 5 p.m. and it's at East 6th Avenue and South El Paso Street. This is the Paseo de las Luces project that was created in the early 1990s as a way of enhancing the inbound corridor of South El Paso Street from U.S.-Mexico border to the Camino Real Hotel, then known as the Westin Hotel. So this is, they finally got it all finished and it's all lit up and it's really pretty. And so they have this wonderful grand opening celebration. It's going to be at 5 p.m. and going to turn the lights on and they're going to, you know, have all these people there, and Six Guns of Shady Ladies is going to be there in costume to add atmosphere.
And when is this?
This is November 7th at 5 p.m., and we'd love to have everybody come out and celebrate it together and see what it's all about.
Way cool. We got Bernie here for a couple of minutes. We stirred up Rosemary on the phone. He got you on the radio. Rosemary, good morning. Thank you.
Good for you.
We love you, Rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on Texas Street, Texas Avenue?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Yeah, they didn't send us a notice on it. So,
we read what we get, and sometimes we don't get everything. But thank you for letting us know about that.
We appreciate that.
All right. And thank you very much for you listening as hard and long as you have. And don't forget, we have ABC 7 News with Bernie Sargent on it coming up this week on Wednesday, a history piece on TV. So there. All right, thanks a lot. You take her easy.
Bye-bye, Rosemary.
And we want to thank everybody in the control room for Sergio and for Shelley's working so hard on all those phone calls. I mean, what a crowd in there.
Oh, I know. She was just worn out.
And we got a Pepe's thing today. I think our first hour guest, Keith, picked, what did he pick?
The red chili meat enchiladas. Yes.
Yeah, those are now $6 today. That is the Oñate special. All right, Bernie Sargent, we got you here for about 20 more seconds.
Yes.
Today's the day to go to Concordia as one location.
Yes, it's one of many, but it's a premier location. Location probably draws more people than anywhere else in the city of El Paso, and it's just a fun event. And again, as we were saying, our hats off to Patricia and Colette and everybody, Heather, and everybody for all the hard work
they
put into that.
They're very hard working out there.
You betcha. And go out there and see it. Say hello to them. Tell them we sent you.
Yes.
And then you can head to Mayapan after Concordia.
That's right.
You can go down to Mayapan.
And go wherever else you might find the dead people.
That's right.
And we'll get you in the mood, and then you can go on.
It's that kind of day.
Wear lots of bells and beads and things like that, because it's the tradition that you keep the people awake when they're dead when you wear the noisemakers.
That's it.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, Bernie Sargent, thanks for being here. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Also, see you on ABC 7 this week on Wednesday evening, 6 p.m. and 10 p.m.
That's right. And get out and vote.
Vote twice or three times. EPHistory.com for details about the radio show. Again, thank the control room. We'll see you all at Pepe's today. See you next week on the radio.
All right.
Thanks
Bye-bye.
A lot. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by EPHistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. EPHistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Las Mansiones, the West Side's new luxury apartments, 915-704-1776. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.